Before I get started, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to be here with us. Father God, we thank you for this Sabbath day that you've blessed us with. We thank you for this opportunity to come and worship you, to learn more about you, and to draw close to your heart. We pray this morning that you would send your Holy Spirit here to fill us with your wisdom and your truth. We pray that the words that I speak will be your words and not my own. I pray this in your name. Amen. Okay. All right. Well, my name is Kelly Doss, but it was originally Kelly Biggs, and I'm the granddaughter of B. Biggs, Gerald. My husband Robbie and I have been serving in Thailand for the last 3 years. If you want to push play, that's okay. We are missionaries with an Adventist organization called Adventist Frontier Missions, and they're not run by the Adventist Church, but they are a cooperating organization. Okay. So we've been in Thailand for the last, the last 3 years. And when we first went to Thailand, our first goal there was to learn the language. And Chen Pu Pasa Thai Ben Lao, I already spoke Thai when I went because I had been a student missionary there for 2 years. And it turned out to be a huge blessing that I had already gone and spent that time, because when we went as career missionaries, I wouldn't have had the time to spend in language learning. So my husband went through language learning for about a little more than a year and a half. And these pictures are just going to be rolling. This is our first transportation that we had in Thailand. That's how we got around. I'm not going to be telling stories necessarily about these pictures. They're just going to be for you to see what life in Thailand is like, and what the people are like, and what kind of rituals and ceremonies and things that they go through in their Buddhist beliefs. So Robbie spent some time language learning, and we moved around quite a bit with language learning. We spent some time in Bangkok, and we spent some time in Chiang Mai. And then after language learning was done, we went to Surin, which is in northeast Thailand, and we started helping the pastor there and our partners, Chris and Shannon Sorensen, and their family. But around the time that Robbie had completed his language learning, the other team, there is another team in Thailand besides our team, and both of our teams started thinking, well, we need to do a huge work here in Thailand. This thing is too big for us. And so we said, well, we're going to combine our teams. So that's what has happened. But I will get back to that. First, I would like to talk about the need in Thailand. I don't know if anyone here knows much about Thailand, but I'm going to share a little bit about the population. There are about 70 million people in Thailand, and that makes it a huge challenge for us, because 95% of that population is Buddhist. 4% of that population, mostly in the three southern provinces, are Muslim. The last 1% of the population is everything else. That includes Hindu, that includes atheist, agnostic, Catholic, any other kind of Christian. So in that, Christian is about 0.6% of the population. So when you look at the population of Thailand, if you are going to find a Christian, you need to look through 150 people before you find one. So there is not much Christian presence, and the work there has been going on for about 400 years. There's been a Christian presence, but little work has been accomplished. It is very challenging to work with a Buddhist mind. And the organization that we work through has chosen a different approach to reach the unreached people of the world. These people in Thailand, they don't have the gospel readily available to them. Most of the work that has been done among the hill tribes who are animist, and they can see the spiritual warfare a lot more clearly than the Buddhist people. And so they're eager for something different. They're eager for a power greater than the evil spirits that they can see at work all around them. And so the people who are not ethnically Thai are easier to reach with the gospel, but the ethnic Thai are very difficult to reach, to bring in, to see the true love and beauty of Christ. Our goal in Thailand is to raise up a people group movement among the ethnic Thai. Our goal is to create disciples. We all know the Great Commission in Matthew 28. At the very end of the book of Matthew, Jesus says, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, Jesus says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So our goal is to go and make disciples. We're not focused on just creating outward Christians, because it's very easy in Buddhism to see a list of things that need to be done. Buddhists, they have things that they do in order to gain merit, in order to put more money in the bank, so that when they die, they'll go to heaven for a longer time before they have to be reincarnated. And it's a hopeless cycle for them. Most people say, "Oh, I can never make enough. I can never be good enough to reach nirvana," which is the ultimate goal, which is nothing. It's a hopeless, hopeless religion. And so we want to go and offer hope. That's what we are taking with us. And of course, we're taking our daughter Hope as well. we want to bring them something more than what they have. And so we're praying that as we are working and learning more about the culture, which is the part that we're in right now, is learning about the Buddhist heart, learning about the Buddhist mindset and their worldview and how they see things, where they come from in their lives, so that we can see how to present the truth of Jesus so that they are touched in their hearts. And it's more than just outward show. It's more than just what they do, but they love Jesus in their heart, and they're ready to outwardly show that, not because it's what they have to do to get to heaven, but because it's in their nature now, because Christ has changed their hearts. This is what we are longing for. We have several stories of people who, take, for example, this one grandmother that we have in the church in Surin. Robbie was helping with pastoral care, and he would go visiting with the pastor. And one time we got a phone call late at night, and somebody said, "Oh, Yai Tatsuni is dying. You need to come and visit her. She's about to die." And Robbie got up and he went with the pastor out to this lady's house. It's about how far? An hour? 30 minutes? 45 minutes to get to her house. And so he went out there, and she was very, almost lifeless, just lying there. But she started to sit up, and we think it was low blood sugar, that she was just suffering from hypoglycemia. And so she was able to sit up, and they prayed with her, and they promised that they would come back and visit her again. And so a group of us went out that Friday evening to have a Vespers, and we sang, and she sang, and she was so happy to have us come and visit her. And after we left the next day, I think it was it the next day or 2 days later? And then it was Saturday evening. Yeah. And the whole atmosphere had changed. There were charms all over the place. They had set up a shrine, and she had all these gold charms and strings tied around her. And the pastor and Robbie were like, "Well, what's happened?" And her daughter said, "Well, last night, the day before, I don't even remember what happened. She had become possessed, and she's a very thin lady. She has been suffering from AIDS and diabetes, and she's very thin. She's emaciated. She has no muscle, no fat on her body, but two strong men could not hold her down and control her. And so they took her to a temple and had the monks chant and do ceremonies for her, and they put all these charms on her. And so this is how the pastor and Robbie found her. And the daughter said, "I don't know, I don't understand what's going on. Because when you are here, she prays with you and she sings and she does all the Christian things. But when you're not here, she does all the Buddhist things. And she does all the chants and performs all the ceremonies." And so we can see that some people have not had the true heart conversion, the true love of Christ in their hearts. Since that time, Yai Tatsuni has returned. She's become more strong in the faith. She threw out all of her charms, and she's becoming stronger again in Christ. And we pray that she will continue to grow and to love Jesus more and more. But we pray that for all the people of Thailand. It's such a huge, huge work to accomplish. And we ask for your prayers. We ask for your support, and we know that this work cannot be accomplished without your help. I know there's a lot more slides, but I think my talk is up. I don't know what else to say. Sure? Okay. We'll switch.
I wanted to, and I was with my son out there for, I didn't quite get everything, but I wanted to share a little bit about what we're doing right now. And as Kelly mentioned, our teams have merged, and so there are five missionary groups, three families, a single person, and a couple that we're working with now in the city of Khon Kaen, which is a large city, has a university there, one of the largest universities in Thailand, about 40,000 students. And what we are doing right now is what we've started a music school. And this music school is not just to teach music, but also to teach character and, but most importantly, to make contacts with people in the community. Our goal is that people, when we go, we send our student, our child there to learn music. Oh, they do. Yeah, they learn music really well there. But also, those people are different. I don't know. They're different Phurongs, which is a foreigner. And, you know, we just like going there. And in the future, once we've worked on studying the culture and get an idea of how we can not only share the gospel, but let there be as few impediments to learning about the gospel as possible. Because I can share something and think, oh, they understand me. And what they have heard is, what they have understood is completely different, only because of how they see the world is different than how I see the world. And so when I use these symbols or I say these words, they think something completely different. And so you can then have a person who is a Christian and a Buddhist at the same time. They think, I just have to do these things. Well, if I do these things and these things, I got my bases covered. Or you can have a person who says, I'm not now going to be Christian. I'm Buddhist things are completely back, but they have that worldview. Their whole lives have been Buddhist thought thinking. And then to immediately think, it doesn't happen overnight. You know, a child hears, you know, goes to Sabbath school or Sunday school, and they hear, you know, their whole life about the stories in the Bible. And we share the story in church and one time and think, okay, they're adults, they get it. Well, they forget that story. They got to hear it over and over and over again, just like when they were children. And so, so once we're finished with learning the culture, I was going to say, there's a pastor I know preached a sermon, and basically his point was, life is like a bank account. Our good deeds go into this account, and God is able and willing to bless us based on that bank account. And I asked our partners afterwards, what do you think of that sermon? He's like, they're the ones who've been in Thailand the longest in our team, and they say, that's the best Buddhist sermon I've ever heard. You know, and here is a person who is a high leader in the church in Thailand, and preaching a sermon like that. He would not think himself to be both Buddhist and Christian. He's Christian only. But his Buddhist thinking comes through in his Christianity. And so unless we understand these kinds of things and the misunderstandings that can happen, then when we share the gospel, those things are going to happen. And so so once we get that done, we will the goal is to figure out how does a Buddhist learn about God and the gospel and his love the best, easiest, quickest way. That has the least amount of hindrances, the least amount of things that are going to make misunderstandings. And so we'll be working on that. There's also the possibility, this is still in the future, of connecting with the music school, starting some sort of a health outreach, because Thais are becoming like Americans. Their diets are becoming much more westernized, and they... you know, are eating sweet and foods constantly throughout the day. And so to have something where we can share healthy living. Just here's how you can live healthfully. So would that be some sort of store that sells whole grain bread or that kind of thing? Very difficult to find there. Whether it be, you know, I'm thinking of like a small cafe, and this is what I've been tasked on our team. When we do this, if we do this, this is my job. I'm known as the person who opens up our house, cooks food, makes, you know, provide, you know, all these things. Whether it be breads or, you know, even things like jams and peanut butters or yogurts or healthier things than what they're eating right now. My goal is not to push some agenda, but to, you know, share, here, this is healthier than what you're eating now. And actually, it tastes good, you know. And so, you know, for example, milk in Thailand, Thais never drank milk 20 years ago. Most Asians are lactose intolerant. And yet, milk companies have come in, they've sold all the milk they can sell in their country. So they come in and say, okay, you need milk, it's good for your body, you know. And so their kids are drinking milk constantly have some, and it's always sweetened because, you know, they're not naturally drinking milk, so they sweeten it with flavors and sugars and stuff. And you're noticing now more and more overweight children, especially. And so I try to explain it as Thailand is like America was in the early 80s or late 70s. There wasn't a huge obesity problem, but the next generation will have a harder time maintaining their weight than the current generation, and so on, if they don't learn how to be, and here's the, you know, temperate with how they eat and what they do. They want to eat it? Oh, they have places everywhere. You can be eating constantly throughout the day. And so that's another thing. But our ultimate goal is, these are just ways of connecting with people, but our ultimate goal is to, through the relationships that we build, for them to see something different that they want to know. It says, oh, well, and we can start sharing that with them and having small groups and lessons that can share the gospel in as effective as way as possible. So that's what we're doing right now. When we go back, that's what we'll be working on. So thank you.